Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" And so here we have that wonderful picture of Adam and Eve living in perfect freedom in the Garden of Eden, God's beautifully created world. And in these few sentences from Genesis, at the very beginning of time, we read of that very first temptation to eat of the apple. And so, as we begin to explore what this story means for us today, a few truths that we can already acknowledge before we fast forward thousands of years and then look at the passages from Paul's letter to the Galatians and Corinthians. Firstly, that God gave us the gift of free will, the gift of choice, the gift to discern our own path in life and to choose whether to follow God or not, with all the consequences that were listed in that passage we read from Galatians. And secondly, that God himself is not the tempter. In fact, God does not lead us into temptation. Satan does. And we'll unpack that a little more later. What I do hope to do this morning is begin by reflecting with you about those first verses we read from Galatians about our call to freedom, and then how we choose to express that freedom, which of course is God-given. That choice, as I've already suggested, and Paul then describes in graphic detail, leads in either the direction of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. And having explored what it means to live in freedom, I then hope to leave you with some suggestions about how we can choose the freedom that really does lead to joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And of course, part of that is how can we avoid temptation? So what does it mean to be called to freedom? What does it mean to be free? Like me, I'm sure there are many things that constrain and limit your lives. Relationships, commitments that have become a burden, work-life balance, finances, different aspects of our lives from which we might like to be free. And yet we know that for whatever reason, that isn't always possible. In our society, there is such a focus on the individual, on the pursuit of happiness for ourselves, that freedom can easily be interpreted as making choices that benefit only ourselves. And of course, there are some aspects of our lives that we can change, that God challenges us to change, that God will enable us to change. But if we think that freedom is about making life easier for ourselves, then I do think we will end up disappointed, disillusioned. In Galatians, we are challenged with a rather alternative interpretation of freedom, a freedom in which we are called to, through love, become slaves to one another, not perhaps the contemporary portrayal of freedom. President Roosevelt, in his famous State of the Union address back in 1941, spoke with anticipation of a world founded on these four essential human freedoms: freedom of speech and expression worldwide, freedom of every person to worship God in his own way, freedom from want, all nations to secure a healthy, economically secure life for each and every person. And finally, freedom from fear. President Roosevelt unpacked that by saying, a worldwide reduction of armaments so that no nation worldwide would be able to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbour. Freedom is one of the most treasured things that we have. And yet in the pursuit of freedom, we deny someone else their freedom. We frequently thank God, don't we, for our freedom. Freedom to come and worship. Freedom to live in a democracy. Freedom to choose where and how to live. Many people have willingly risked and lost their lives to gain or preserve freedom. I was reading in the paper yesterday how environmentalists have lost their lives across this world as they have stood up for justice for their own communities. And then going back to Hebrew scripture, we know that Israel as a people spent many years in bondage, slavery in Egypt, captivity in Babylon. The Jews even had a festival, the Year of the Jubilee, dedicated to the concept of liberty and freedom. Every 50 years, as I expect you know, debts were cancelled, slaves were freed, land returned to the original landowners. What celebration there must have been amongst those many slaves after waiting 50 years to claim their freedom. But is this the freedom that Paul is referring to in these passages that we've read? Let me read this quote from a pastor in Syria. This is his church on Christmas Eve. And he is a man living and serving in a place of persecution, hardship, poverty, and darkness. None of those freedoms that President Roosevelt talked about. And he said this: "The church is the source of joy because Jesus stayed on the cross. And Syria is on the cross and awaiting the day it will be resurrected. No one in any society has this joy except the church. We are not passing through anything our Lord did not pass through himself and triumph over. Being persecuted recently in Syria is nothing. We have been persecuted for centuries, and it does not hurt the church, but serve it." Here is a man expressing freedom and joy amidst some of the most dire and unimaginably terrifying circumstances. And then, closer to home, many of us know or even live with someone who has dementia. And in so many ways, this brings such a profound loss of freedom, an unwanted life sentence, maybe. And yet my experience in visiting care homes across the city, of meeting with men and women living with dementia in our local community, is that even those with most severe memory loss and cognitive disability can still respond with joy and freedom as the Holy Spirit meets with them. Those of us who know Jennifer Butte, whose picture is on the screen, who worshipped with us for many years here at Highfield Church, were perhaps not surprised when she responded to her own diagnosis of dementia by saying this: "Since my diagnosis of early onset Alzheimer's disease, it has become my passion to try and help people understand about it, because I do believe it is a great opportunity, a glorious opportunity, a God-given, unexpected gift in order to understand this hurt section of society." Freedom in these examples comes not from a life of comfort, a life free of persecution, or a life where we celebrate good health or independent living, but from an inner freedom based on the knowledge that through Christ, through his death on a cross, our own debts have been cancelled, and we too receive our freedom. As we read in John 8, "As you will know the truth, and the truth will set us free." It's not a coincidence, I think, that we are led to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And as we do so, Jesus has first reminded us in the Lord's Prayer of the previous petition: "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." We stand as forgiven people, people living in the freedom of the cross, as we come and ask that God will not lead us into situations where we will be unable to resist temptation. And when we fail, as we all have done, as we will do, and as we will do once again, we know that we can receive the forgiveness of Christ. Paul says at the very beginning of this section in Galatians, at the beginning of chapter 5, For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. God does not want us to live under the tyranny of guilt, or, as Paul was expanding to the Galatians, under the legalistic conventions of Jewish law as they explored the role of circumcision. Christ took the yoke of slavery, of sin, on our behalf, so we can live in the freedom of God's forgiveness, so that we can too know the inner freedom of Jesus with us in all circumstances. But here's the huge challenge. How do we choose to respond to this gift of freedom? And do we really understand the consequences of the choices we make? Paul makes it sound so simple. Love your neighbour as yourself. So different to the world's view of freedom. This command, spoken, of course, by Jesus himself, and summing up the whole of the law, is to desire the freedom we hope for ourselves, for our neighbour. The consequence of failing to do this, of not reaching out to our neighbour in love, is described in such a way here that breaks my heart. Take care that you are not consumed by one another. Take care that you don't destroy one another, that you don't cause a fracture in a relationship. I suspect that sadly most of us will have experienced a flavour of the bitterness and brokenness that Paul refers to here. The hurt of a relationship that has gone sour through misunderstanding, through selfish behaviour, maybe through circumstances out of our control, and yet the bitterness and temptation to dwell in a place of self-pity can devour us and cause further and far-reaching consequences on our own health and on those around us. Maybe some of us are even in that place today. And if that is you, if you are living in the midst of this trial, please know firstly that God is there with you, kneeling with you, standing with you, holding you. And secondly, that the Holy Spirit can lead you out of that place and bring restoration and reconciliation. And if you are able, do seek help. Come and talk to us, Emlyn, myself, or the prayer team at the end of the service. Do business with God, because he's already gone to the cross and suffered for you and for me so that we can live in a place of freedom and forgiveness. Do not be consumed by mistakes in the past. So, temptation. Why, I wonder, did God even give us the freedom to choose to be placed in a position of temptation? Wouldn't it have been much easier to have left us in the Garden of Eden? For us not to live in such a broken world that we all seem so intent on destroying. And we don't have time to unpack that in detail, but this is what C.S. Lewis says about this question in his book, Mere Christianity. Of course, God knew what would happen if we, used their freedom in a wrong way. And apparently, God thought it worth the risk. If God thinks this state of war in the universe a price worth paying for free will, that is, for making a live world in which creatures can do real good or indeed harm, and something of real importance can happen, instead of a toy world which only moves when God pulls the strings, then we may take it, it is worth paying. And so we have a choice. We can choose the path that leads to destruction, examples of which are so explicitly laid out in the passage in Galatians, and I'm not going to unpack one by one, or the path guided by the Holy Spirit that leads to the good fruit. Are we tempted like Eve, and as Paul suggests in this letter in the Galatians, to take just one bite? Just one bite of the apple will do no harm. Just looking won't hurt anyone. Just one drink on this one occasion. Just sharing that one piece of negative information about someone. And yet we all know the consequences of that just one bite and where it leads, that we will be devoured or consumed, as Paul says so graphically. Returning to C.S. Lewis, the man of the day, he described the danger of temptation alarmingly well in the Screwtape Letters. I have a copy here. A fictional portrayal of a senior demon called Screwtape, writing a series of letters to his nephew Wormwood, a junior tempter. Screwtape gives Wormwood detailed advice on various methods of undermining faith and of promoting sin in the patient, that is, you and me, interspersed with observations on human nature. In Screwtape's advice, individual benefit, as we referred to earlier, and greed are seen as the greatest good, and neither demon can comprehend God's love for man and woman, or indeed acknowledge human virtue. And it's full of wisdom, this book, and I'm just going to read you one excerpt, a part of which you probably can't read, but is on the screen. So this is Screwtape writing to Wormwood. You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy being God in this case. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Your affectionate uncle, Screwtape. The fictional, imaginative interpretation of how Satan might be working in our lives is chillingly observant about the failings of human nature and the temptations that surround us daily. But let's stop a moment and claim a few truths here, and then finally think about how we can actively work at resisting temptation, individually and together. The devil and the consequential destruction. First of all, two lies that Satan wants us to believe. As we referred to before, just once won't hurt. Satan entices us with the knowledge of the pleasure of the fruit. What he doesn't do is encourage us to look past the first taste of our desire to the shame, the guilt, and the hurt that experience may lead to. He keeps our eyes firmly fixed on the object of our desire. And the second lie is that when we have slipped, made a mistake, and we all will do, fallen into that trap of temptation, taken the wrong path, maybe even feel that we've ruined our life, Satan wants us to believe the lie that we are beyond God's mercy, and that we might as well enjoy sinning. But let's counter these with two truths. Firstly, as Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, we will not be led into a place where temptation will be beyond our ability to resist. God will be with us, and he will lead us out of that place, however difficult it might initially appear. We pray confidently, lead us not into temptation. The correct Greek translation of that is lead us not into a place of trial or suffering where we will not be able to resist temptation. This is actually a prayer of protection, a little bit like the hymn we sung earlier, a prayer of protection to a Father that has promised and shown us that he is our faithful protector, our shelter, our rock, in a place where we are most vulnerable. And the second truth is that when we fail, as we will, we have a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of forgiveness who will never turn his back on us. Those of us who are parents or guardians know how much we invest in leading and guiding our children. And yet when they make mistakes, perhaps even dismiss those profound guiding principles imparted by ourselves, it's unlikely that we would turn our backs on them. We, perhaps not perfectly, but like God our Father, will wait with open arms to forgive and invite our children back into the family. God will never turn his back on us, whatever we do, wherever we find ourselves, whatever mistakes we make. And so finally, how can we even begin to resist temptation when we've got screw tape and wormwood over our shoulders? How can we intentionally choose the path of fruitfulness? Three thoughts summed up in these three words, to which you may be able to add your own: flight, faith, and fight. Flight. Firstly, it's so important that we recognise that none of us can avoid temptation. None of us are beyond temptation. It's a universal truth. We need to identify those areas of our lives where temptation lurks, whether that's financial, sexual, gossip, envy, and of course the list goes on, and only you know what needs to be added. In order to resist temptation, it's also helpful to acknowledge those areas of weakness to ourselves, before God, and if possible, if it needs to be, to a trusted friend to whom you can be accountable. Having identified those areas, avoid them where you can, and help those you love to avoid their weaknesses. Over the years, I have withdrawn from various friendships where I know I have been tempted to participate in gossip, where I have left a conversation feeling shame and guilt. On a more frivolous note, I avoid buying snacks when I'm trying to eat healthily. And I avoid suggesting the pub as a venue for supper when I'm with a certain friend who is struggling with alcohol. Secondly, develop a life of faith, confident of our freedom in Christ. Intentionally spend time with God's word, in worship, in praise, and in prayer. In this way, we will be encouraged daily by God's truth. We will be challenged to reflect on God's guidance, and we'll understand more about what it means to live in his freedom. I know that I have to work intentionally hard at this, discover new ways of thinking about my prayer life, find books that help me dig deeper into God's word. Can I suggest that over these coming weeks you look out for the new summer reading suggestions that will be published soon by Emlyn? Choose a book and read it over the summer months. Maybe even have a book club in your small group after the summer to share your reading and encourage each other. Perhaps read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. And finally, remember that it is the devil that leads us into temptation. It is the devil that will lure us through our human weakness down the path of destruction. And so acknowledging our own weaknesses and choosing to live in the light of Jesus, we then need to be prepared for battle and to fight Satan. Face him. Do not be afraid of him, as you stand protected by the Father and by the blood of Jesus. Satan does not fear me, or does he fear you? But he trembles at the name of Jesus Christ. When Martin Luther was asked how he overcame the devil, he replied, "Well, when he comes knocking at the door of my heart and asks, 'Who lives here?' the dear Lord Jesus goes to the door and says, 'Martin Luther used to live here, but he has moved out. Now I live here.' When Christ fills our lives, Satan has no entrance. And remember, when we do fail, when we do flounder, we can stand before the cross of Christ knowing that we have already received forgiveness. No guilt, no shame. Amen.